Preparations for Suffering by John Filippo. Many, or most, professing Christians are not prepared for suffering. You've seen earlier what the necessary prerequisites for a suffering condition are, and what kind of people you must be, both for habitual and actual readiness, if you are ever to honor Christ by bonds or by death for Him. And I do not doubt that your judgments and consciences yield to the evident necessity of the things in which I place a Christian's readiness. But among the throngs and crowds of professing Christians, we cannot find large numbers of those who are so qualified and prepared. To suffer for Christ is a gift that few have received. We are fallen into the dregs of time. Oh, how little of the early church zeal and simplicity remain among the professors of this age. Latter times have produced a kind of professors of another stamp and spirit. These now have the light, but earlier ones had the love. These see more, but those did and suffered more. How many who are no ornament to religion adorn themselves with the name of it. Now, according to this account given of a ready Christian, many professing people will be convicted of their unreadiness and instability to manage the work of suffering for Christ. The first people unprepared for suffering are the expedient and hypocritical professors whose hearts were never set right in the first place, and therefore cannot be steadfast when trials come. Psalm 78, verse 8. Their hearts were never sound in God's statutes, so it is no wonder if they are not only ashamed to, but ashamed of their profession. Never be surprised if you see that profession that began in hypocrisy, end in apostasy. These lack their habitual readiness for sufferings, so they cannot drink of that cup. When tried, their fall is unavoidable. And when they fall dreadfully and often irrecoverably, for they have neither the seed of God in them, nor any promise of God made to them. Many like these are found in every place. For how difficult is it to persuade many of you to any duty that has loss or hazard accompanying it? Does not the sincere heart stand inclinable and disposed to all the known will of God? Do Christians habitually seek more what is cheap, easy, and safe for them, or what is their duty? Speak, conscience, for to you I appeal. Are you not conscious of some reserves, limitations, and exceptions? Do we, like Naaman, desire the Lord to excuse and pardon us in this or that thing? 2 Kings 5:17. Do you think this is consistent with sincere obedience, which accepts no duty, nor quarrels with any command because they all bow equally from the sovereignty of God, and does what is does at the sight of God's will? Say, conscience, are there not great struggles, disputes, and contests between you and fleshly interests in such cases? And do you not frequently lose? Oh, search your hearts in this area. But I ask you, are there not many among you who choose sin rather than affliction? This is always the hypocrite's option and choice. He judges sufferings the greatest evil, and so orders himself and his choices. It was only to avoid persecution that those hypocrites Paul speaks of constrain others to be circumcised. They did it only to indulge the Jews, so that by a sinful compliance with them, the offense of the cross might cease. If Paul would have done so, he also might have avoided persecution, but he did not dare, no matter what he suffered. This is a shrewd sign of a false heart, and the opposite disposition is always found in the upright heart. Are there not some who have, and others who are ready to toss off their professions, when they see in what difficulties it involves them? While they could live on the profession of truth, they entertained it, But when truth comes to live on them, they thrust it out and cry, "Away with this profession. It will impoverish and ruin us."